Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Whitaker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
So exciting to be here. It was exciting to just hear the very personal conversation you just had before we got on.
Yeah. I got a lot going on.
Can I weigh in? Am I allowed to weigh in on your family issues on the podcast?
Yeah, weigh in. I might have to edit some stuff out. We'll see. We'll see where this is going.
I think you should offer them $50,000 less. Yeah. And, oh, you know what you should do? It's like, FedEx them a horse's head. Like a dead horse's head.
That would be an expensive FedEx.
Listen.
Big box. Horses' heads are much bigger than you think.
In the scheme of what you're trying to do, it's small.
The impossible, like, the reason that scene in The Godfather is so ridiculous is because it is impossible to get the head of a horse in a guy's bed while he's there without him noticing, unless you've drugged him. He just wakes up in the morning and, oh, by the way, there's an entire horse's head in his bed, and it's covered in blood.
I don't notice. I've slept on things before and didn't notice they were in my bed. I mean, who hasn't done that?
Like a horse's head?
We've all been there.
All right. Speaking of horses' heads, that's a terrible segue. We're here to continue the greatest American athletes of all time bracket. When we last left you 2 weeks ago, we took a break to discuss March Madness, the basketball version. We had finished the round of 64, except for six matchups, which were tied and for which we needed a tiebreaker. And so we reached out to Howie Schwab of Stump the Schwab fame, and he sent us one of his unrelated, unknown, and unconnected acolytes, Jared Jerome. So here to join us on the podcast as our third judge today, as our tiebreaker, is Jared Jerome. Jared, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, guys. You know, I actually taught Schwab everything he knows, even though I'm probably 30 years younger than him, but it's okay. Thanks for having me, though. I'm excited to get it going.
I like how thick Jared's Long Island accent is. Like people. People say that I have one, but this is pretty serious.
You have not. For some reason, the
people who grew up in the Five Towns, like I did, don't have such a thick Long Island accent. You get closer to like the Belmore, Merrick, Wantagh area, very thick Long Island accents.
You guys are a little more highfalutin, you know, and you guys sort of lose the accent. I'm like New York from the gutters, you know what I mean? So, yeah, listeners, you're going to have to deal with that. It is what it is. I can't hide it.
Where are you from, Jared?
From Long Island also, so.
Yeah, but are you giving us more details or no?
Well, I just think Long Island. Yeah, no. I grew up in Merrick on the South Shore in Nassau County, and then I moved to West
Jerusalem
Hempstead.
Avenue.
No, but near there. And, Long Island through and through. Long Island with Brooklyn parents. So this is going to be, if I use my R's, be proud.
This does sound very Mike and the Mad Doggy already.
I can play the mic role.
So before we even get into the Thrifty 32, as it's called here on the podcast, Jared, we're going to have to use you to break our ties from last week. So from 2 weeks ago. So, you know, I don't know if we're going to discuss these in detail or if you just have a quick answer. The first one was Tom Brady versus Tony Hawk.
No, I'd like to discuss in detail. What are we rushing through here? Come on. All right. No, so I would say in general, right, there's a couple ways that I look at these kind of, just to give my background, to look at these comparisons. Because doing so when you do within sports comparisons, which is a lot easier, you still run into the whole era problem, right? So you have like Ty Cobb versus Mike Trout or this kind of thing. And say like, well, if Ty Cobb was playing now, would he be able to hit, you know, a Syndergaard 95 mile per hour slider, you know? Probably not, I think, but maybe, we don't know. You know, would Bob Cousy be able to even play in Division III basketball right now? Maybe, maybe not, I don't know. So my thing on that is we just say, straight across the board, you go by the era, right? So if whatever the guy was compared, whatever the guy or girl was compared to the other athletes they were playing against, that's how great they are, right? But then I think for this discussion here, which is really interesting, comparing sports, I think you sort of have to look at two main things, right? How great is the guy or girl in their sport? Are they the greatest, the second greatest of all time? And then two, how important is that sport, right? So I think, and it all comes down to how we weigh those two variables to determine, right, who's better. So I think, what'd you say, the Tom Brady, Tony Hawk, was that the first one?
Yeah.
Right, so that's a perfect example where you have Tony Hawk, who, and I am no avid skateboarding, you know, expert, but Tony Hawk, I guess, is the greatest skateboarder ever, right? I mean, that's what he's known as and everything like that. But one could make the argument that Tom Brady is the greatest football player. I don't make the argument. Chester, I know you don't make that argument. But coming off that ridiculous, you know, comeback in the Super Bowl, the five championships, already up there as one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, one could make the argument. So if you could make the argument that someone is the greatest football player of all time, and it's football, which right now is the most popular sport in America, versus one of the least popular sports in America, if it even is a professional sport, I don't even know. Is there any leagues or anything like that? how could you not go Tom Brady? So I don't know who voted what by you two, but that's my take on that. I think that's an easy one. I really do.
Okay. All right. So Tom Brady, welcome to the round of 32.
Well, who voted for Tony Hawk?
Who voted for each?
That was me. I voted for Tony Hawk.
That's the biggest troll vote I've ever heard.
So that was an obvious one, right? I mean, I feel like that's...
I don't know. You voted for Joey Chestnut, Akiva.
But, I mean, Joey Chestnut is the greatest of all time at something everyone does. Nobody skateboards.
I mean, Tony Hawk's the greatest of all time at an actual sport.
But is there, like, a skateboarding league? Like who? No. How do we even know that he's the greatest of all time? Where are the stats? You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm saying.
He might be like...
At least Chestnut has championships in his thing. You know what I mean?
I'm sure Tony Hawk has championships.
I guess.
X Games. Probably has some X Games titles.
But I feel like he was too old already when that stuff came around, you know? I think he's the pioneer of skateboarding.
Right.
But I bet you, like, young skateboarders who know what they're talking about probably say, like, Tony Hawk, that old guy, he got it started. He has all the video games, but he can't do anything, you know?
You want to know how many championships he has?
Go ahead.
Well, they just have a list of them. They don't have the number. How many times he's finished first in various contests? One, two,
three. We cut the X Games stuff.
He has over 55 championships.
And to me and everyone listening, that means nothing, right? Like maybe he should have 836 championships. Right. Like, I have no clue.
5 years in a row, like, there was one Super Bowl of skateboarding and he's won it that many times?
No, his first championship was the 1983 Spring Nationals contest at Del Mar. He won that. And then his final championship was 2002 X Games at the First Union Center in Philadelphia. He won the doubles vert.
All right.
And in between that, he had, all right, yeah, whatever. Okay, we don't care about Tony Hawk. Sorry, you made it to the round of 64. Be happy. The next argument we had, this was probably the one that that Akiva certainly felt the most passionate about, and so did I, in a sense. Michael Phelps against Jackie Robinson. Akiva, okay. Withhold your jokes.
I think this is a really easy one, okay? Let me start by saying I'm a huge baseball fan. It's my second favorite sport, the one I know the most history about.
Number one, skateboarding?
Skateboarding is one, as I just proved, but baseball's two. No, yeah, I love baseball. I love the history. I wanted all those guys in, Mickey Mantle, A-Rod, etc. So back to what I said in the beginning, right? But talking about dominating your sport versus where you are. Jackie Robinson is not, in my opinion, as good as Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, I don't know, many, many guys, okay? We know that I agree, much like Ichiro, if he started at the beginning of his career, if he started at age 21, he could have had, a better claim to even be the. Does anyone argue that he's even the best second baseman of all time? Right? Is he behind Joe Morgan? Is he behind Rogers Hornsby? I think everyone would agree with that, right? Yeah. I mean, Chester, do you disagree with that?
Neil Walker.
No, I agree. Yeah.
Okay, so he's at best the third best second baseman of all time. Probably not. Mm-hmm. I don't. Maybe he is, but I'm not sure. Michael Phelps is by so far and away the greatest swimmer of all time. I argue the greatest Olympian of all time. I'll defer to Akiv on this one, but I mean, I'm a huge Michael Phelps guy. He's lapped the field. He does all the strokes. I mean, what was it?
There you are with the swimming pun.
Oh, I didn't even notice. So no, obviously no pun intended. I mean, what was it? I forgot. At his peak, whether it was, I know in 08 he won 8 for 8, but I think maybe it was in 04 that he got in, that he qualified in all the strokes except one of them. Do you know that, Key?
Yeah, he doesn't do backstroke other than the medley, so yeah.
Right. So I'm saying, but he actually qualified to be top two in the country, in the best swimming country in the world, in three of the four strokes, and obviously he's not a bad backstroker also. So
right.
The
guy, and it's not a popular sport to watch, but it's a sport done by a ton of people.
Right, so everybody swims. Yes, it's not like leagues and everything like that. And most people like me, even me who likes the Olympics and everything like that, I don't follow all the championships and everything like that. But the guy, I mean, I know you guys are high on Katie Ledecky, but she does one stroke. I know she does different distances. This guy does all the strokes. He dominates. He's had world records. And what does he have, 23 gold medals? It's ridiculous. I mean, he is so far and away the best swimmer. I think the best Olympian of all time. And Jackie Robinson is obviously historically maybe the best person on this list, arguably, but we're doing a sports thing here, and he doesn't cut it. I mean, he shouldn't even be on the list for based on just his sporting achievements.
Wasn't Jackie Robinson also like a champion sprinter?
Yeah, he was a great at UCLA. Yeah, at UCLA, he was a great athlete. There's no question. But I feel like most of these great athletes, in college were great. If this could have done different things, and that's another thing we can get into.
Michael Phelps could not do anything else.
No.
Michael Phelps could not play any other sport.
Raw athletic ability, Jackie Robinson dominates Michael Phelps. There's no question. I wouldn't be surprised if Phelps couldn't hit a layup. No, we're not doing.
Isn't that the question here? Greatest American athlete.
No, we're not doing raw athletic ability, or it's going to be, Yeah, I mean, we're not doing raw athletic ability. So we're doing greatness at sports, I think, right? I mean, isn't that what we're doing here?
Of course, yeah.
Right.
Well, then here's another one along those lines, I guess. It's Hank Aaron against Richard Petty.
So I don't know much at all about horse racing. I'm sorry, about car racing or any NASCAR, any of that kind of stuff. But I looked up Richard Petty on Wikipedia, and it looks very impressive. Okay, Hank Aaron is up there. He held probably the most important baseball record for a long time. One of the great, I mean, I think even a little underrated. I think people think of him as a compiler. He's not a compiler. I mean, he never had 50 homers in a season, but you're talking about a guy who for 23 years had 40 home runs, basically. What does he have, 3,700 plus hits and over 2,000 runs and RBIs, most RBIs ever, most home runs ever. Having said all that, I mean, there's a bunch of guys in baseball who I would put ahead of him. You know, there really is. I'd put Mays ahead of him. I'd put Ruth ahead of him. I'd put Ted Williams ahead of him, maybe Ty Cobb, maybe a couple pitchers. So if you're going to be the sixth or seventh best guy in baseball, as important as baseball is, versus, I don't know, Richard Petty, maybe the second best guy. It seems like Mario Andretti is the best racer, but maybe Richard Petty might be second. I got to reluctantly close my nose and go with Richard Petty on this one.
Wow, that's an upset. I'm surprised. And I don't think Richard Petty is a consensus number one or number two guy based on some.
I was looking at his Wikipedia page because I don't know much. And again, it's hard to say, like, what I don't really know exactly what all these things mean. But basically, yeah, I mean,
all right, it's okay. You know, Richard Petty advances.
Who said which? Which of you guys picked which?
I would guess Akiva probably picked Petty. I probably picked Hank Aaron.
And I'm a huge baseball guy. But I'm trying to be fair here. So yeah.
All right. Okay. Next one we got is Michael Johnson against Cheryl Miller.
Okay. So Cheryl Miller to me is a lot like Bill Walton. Okay. What could have been, right? So it seems we don't know much about Cheryl Miller, right? So she was it's not her fault that there was no WNBA then.
She could have made the W. Like she could have built it herself. I guess it's kind of her fault.
I don't know. I mean, how did the WA get built, right? I mean, yeah, but I'm – right. So, yeah. I mean, so, like, could have she been the greatest female basketball player ever? She could have been. I have no idea. Like, she was great in college, but not much greater than everybody else, right? Lisa Leslie also went to USC, had similar statistics and accomplishments. All those UConn women have, you know, similar and great accomplishments. So, I think Cheryl Miller got a boost because of Reggie Miller. Not that he's better for his sport than she was for hers, but she became more, you know, with the announcing, and you know, it's Reggie's bigger sister and all that kind of stuff. I feel like she got a boost from that. And she just frankly hasn't, I mean, it wasn't huge, the sport then. It's not huge now, but it was even smaller when she was playing it. And then you're going against Michael Johnson, who was the record holder in the 200 and the 400 until he was broken by that freak, Usain Bolt. And how could you beat Usain Bolt, right? For history, everybody's 5'10" to 6'2". You get this nut coming in at 6'5", and it's just not fair. His legs move at the same speed. The only difference is he's covering an extra foot with every step. So, I mean, that's the one guy who breaks him. Although he lost the 400, who's that guy, Van something from South Africa, right? What was it, Van Eker?
Yeah, that guy's kind of short, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened, but whatever. But Michael Johnson was the clear American Olympic hero throughout the 90s. Two world records and two major events in track and field versus someone who I don't know. I don't know enough about Cheryl Miller. I don't know if she'd be better than Diana Taurasi. I don't know if she'd be better than Elena Deladon. I don't know if she'd be better than Sue Bird or 30 other WNBA players, is we don't have enough data on her. And Chester, I know you're a big data guy. I mean, I don't know how you could pick her with the little that we know. So I don't know who chose what, but that's my take. So I'm going Michael Johnson.
I don't remember. Akiva, do you remember who you picked?
Did you pick Cheryl Miller? Yeah, I think I picked Michael Johnson.
No, I picked Michael Johnson, I'm pretty sure.
All right, fine. So I'm happy Michael Johnson wins.
All right, okay, fine. Okay, now let's go to the other side of the bracket. We have two more overtime games in the first round to determine. This is a tough one. It's Ty Cobb against Otto Graham.
It is a tough one. It's basically the same thing, right?
And this shows how little we care about football history versus baseball history. Like pre-Super Bowl football is irrelevant to us. And this is like the best example of it. Otto Graham, you know, was, was the greatest.
Because baseball is essentially the same sport, 120 years later, whereas football, they played 8 games, the players sucked, they didn't pass.
No, there's no difference whether you play
with this correct point.
There's no difference whether you play.
They played almost the exact same number of games. The stats still hold up 100-something years later.
Otto Graham's stats still hold up 100-something years later. He's the only one who does.
But his era doesn't, so no one cares about him.
No, okay, but the era of baseball when Ty Cobb was playing, he wasn't playing against black people either, and he was playing, you know, against 14 white guys.
Also,
you know,
like,
short
we have
guys,
some like baseball stuff from the 40s and 50s, and very little video until the late 50s.
Yeah,
I completely agree with Chester on this one. I love baseball history. I know so much about it. Football history, I don't have a clue. And you say Otto Graham's numbers hold to today. No, they don't. Where did he throw for like 2,000 yards a year? That may have been the best in his time, but that's a joke. What are you talking about?
No, but his quarterback rating, his touchdown interception ratio, those things still hold.
Right. Okay. I mean, to me,
which nobody else from his era is even close.
Right, it's interesting. So,
and he won like what, 8 championships?
Let me ask you a question.
Russell-esque.
Who do you think is better within their era? Like, in other words, who did better compared to their contemporaries within each of their individual sports, Otto Graham or Ty Cobb?
I would say Otto Graham because Ty Cobb was the best player when he was playing, but then immediately got, you know, well, except there were, you know, pitchers in his era were better than him, Cy Young or whatever, Chrissy Mathewson maybe, and then Babe Ruth came along and shattered everything. Whereas Otto Graham was the best football player for the first 50, 60 years of the NFL's existence.
Okay.
Like, you know, like he was, when you talk about the greatest quarterbacks of all time, it's a couple guys from the modern era, you know, Peyton and Tom Brady, and then it's Joe Montana, and then it's Otto Graham. And then, you know, Johnny Unitas sort of became more famous and had all the records, but Otto Graham is better than Johnny Unitas.
I mean, it's a good.
This is a really tough one.
It's a good argument. Since I'm giving my own answer, I have to go Ty Cobb because I just respect the history of baseball more. I think, like Keith was saying, I think it's more similar, not exactly the same, but more similar to the game today. Football, I mean, they weren't wearing helmets. We don't know what they were doing. I mean, it was like
Otto Graham wasn't playing in the 20s. He was playing in the 50s.
Even with the 50s, though. That's what I'm saying. That's the
helmets.
Point.
They were wearing the exact same helmets. They had a handlebar. They weren't wearing leather things like
it wasn't the Leatherheads? It wasn't the Coen Brothers Leatherhead movie then?
No. Okay. What I'm saying is that the game wasn't different. What's different is the existence of the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl itself makes all – the football was no different in 1965 than in 1968. The difference is in 1965 there was no Super Bowl. In 1968 there was. The existence of the Super Bowl is what has made pre-Super Bowl football irrelevant. The invention of that game. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Otto Graham was playing in the 50s and even into, I think, the couple of years earlier 60s.
He played the 40. I'm looking now. He played in the 40.
He debuted 46. Like 48, 49.
Right. But yeah, I got to go. You make good arguments, but I have to go Ty Cobb. First of all, I screwed out 2 baseball guys already. Let me get a baseball guy in here. That's number one, although that's not why I'm doing it.
There's plenty of baseball guys in this draft.
I just feel like, and listen, Ty Cobb to this day has the best batting average of all time, right? He still maintained that. So obviously Babe Ruth did blow him away with the power, but Ty Cobb still has over 800 stolen bases. He's still, 366, I think, is his career batting average or something like that, the best of all time. So who the hell – Ty Cobb's got to win this one. I hear what you're saying, but nobody gives a damn about football before the Super Bowl. It's just true. Yeah. It just is true. Yeah. I'm a huge sports fan, and I barely know anything about Otto Graham. You could say that's a negative on me, but I think most people don't like that. I really do.
By the way, we have 7 baseball players in the final 32, and 6 of them are all on the left half of the bracket. 6 of the 16 are baseball players.
Even with the 2 bracket. I eliminated, there's still 7?
With the 2 you eliminated, it would have been 8 out of 16. Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right. So there's plenty. Yeah, there's plenty. Yeah, all right. Having said that, we're going Ty Cobb.
All right. The last matchup we have to get to our Thrifty 32 is a tennis matchup. Martina Navratilova against Pete Sampras.
Love this one. Love it. It's got to be Navratilova. Okay. Yeah. She has 18 Grand Slams to Sampras's 14. She has, and this I checked, 31 doubles Grand Slams titles. And I'm not even counting the mixed doubles, which
some,
I know I don't need.
Some in her 40s.
It's ridiculous.
Like late 40s. Late 40s.
She started way before she started before we were even born. She continued to when I basically stopped following tennis. It was so deep into her career. Sampras has been passed by Federer, by Nadal. There's a debate between him and Djokovic. Navratilova's only been passed arguably by Serena, and I even think there's an argument for that. I know you guys are all in on Serena. I think Navratilova has an argument with Serena.
It's not crazy. I mean, Serena has a lot of competition. Navratilova had no competition. Navratilova was...
What do you mean? Navratilova had Everett. She had Billie Jean King. She had competition.
No, I mean, Serena, if Serena's not feeling well, she's going up against someone who's like pounding 125 mile an hour serves every day. You know, there are Russians off, you know, and Eastern Europeans off an assembly line that, you know, that have beaten Serena, you know, at a bad U.S. Open or at a bad Wimbledon. Navratilova had like four good players on the whole tour. Serena has like 60.
So you're saying there's more depth with Serena?
Much more depth. Same thing with golf. Yeah. That's why, you know, Chester's for sport. Liking Arnold Palmer. No, I mean, some sports had some depth. They just had less teams or whatever. But golf and tennis, they were, you know, it was all Americans. Like, think about it. The best 30 Americans back then were all in the top 100. Now the 30th best American is the 1,000th in the world. There are times where there's only four or five American men in the top 100 in tennis. It's not because people aren't playing tennis. Maybe slightly less people are playing, but it's because the whole world started playing and caught up.
Right, right. Well, do you agree with me, though, that there is an argument for Navratilova as best all time? I mean, yeah, there was until a couple years ago. Until a couple years ago. The thing with Serena is I feel like if Serena went all in on tennis from the beginning, what was her first U.S. Open was like in 99 or something like that. I think if she went all in from then, like, you know, without her external stuff that she's doing and like sometimes sitting it out and whatever, she could have won like 30 plus. Don't you feel like she would tune out for 2 years and she'd come back and win six in a row. Then she'd be gone for a year. Then she'd come back and win five out of six. Like, talent wise, there's no doubt Serena's the greatest of all time. But, you know, so whatever. But that's not the debate. The debate is Sampras. And I just feel like there's too many men on the level with Sampras. Sampras was kind of a one-trick pony, although never told of also. But the serve and volleying of Sampras, I respect that less than the overall game. He had a great serve and volley game, much like, you know, like McEnroe on a lesser level. And that enabled him to kind of dominate at Wimbledon. But it didn't show kind of the versatility of tennis that I think some other people. The fact that Navratilova was doing it in mixed doubles and regular doubles and just playing this gruesome schedule from the 70s through the 90s and had all, I guess, 31 doubles Grand Slam titles? That's insane.
But there's no top 10 men really who compete in doubles, right?
Right. I don't think so. That's true. Right. You have what are those brothers that played all those years and dominated?
The Bryan brothers. They're still around.
No. Older. Was there older ones or
there was the,
like from the
90s? There was the Woodies in Australia, but they had different last names.
Oh, so maybe I'm thinking of the whatever. Yeah. So yeah, you're right. That's true. But also look, what about how taxing that is on her, right? So in the same Wimbledon that she's winning the singles, she's also winning the doubles and the mixed doubles. In the same US Open that she's winning the singles, same thing. So I mean, she's just playing probably every day. You know, I mean, I'm going Navratilova on this one.
All right. So there we go. We have our round of 32 set. Wipe your brow. We got them all. Let's jump right in.
Round of 32? Your whole brand is the Thrifty 32.
All right, yeah. So we're in the Thrifty 32. And let's see. You know, we got to pick up the pace a little bit. Let's see if we can get to the Sweet 16 today. So
yeah, guys, just shut me up if I'm going for too long because I could do this all day. Sure. So seriously. Yeah.
All right, so we're going to start at the upper left, right off the bat. Just a great, great matchup. You have Cy Young against Tom Brady. So, Keith, I'll let you go first.
Yeah, it's really tough, right? I mean, Young, maybe the best pitcher ever, like we said, but maybe the 8th best pitcher ever. Brady, maybe the best football player ever. Could you say he's maybe the 8th best football player ever? I don't think you could say that. I don't think you would push him down that low. And football players, you know, maybe have more impact. Does that mean Brady should be rewarded? I say yes. I go Brady over Cy Young.
All right. I'm going to go the other way. Let me just say this. I think that the Cy Young's statistical dominance is something we'll never see from anybody in any sport. I understand the era in which he played. You know, he retired in 1911. So, again, he was, you know, he played most of his career for a team, the Cleveland Spiders, which less than 1% of baseball fans could acknowledge existed. If I mentioned the Cleveland Spiders, they thought I was making a joke. So I understand he played a long time ago. That having been said, his 511 wins is just an impossibility. It's impossible. no one will. I mean, I doubt we'll ever see 300 again. 511, it's impossible. Unless you think, oh, well, he was just the compiler. Nolan Ryan, who was sort of the ultimate compiler of our era, right? Nolan Ryan, who, you know, pitched forever, his ERA plus, which is, you know, essentially how much percentage better than the average pitcher was he over his era, his ERA plus was 111, which means Nolan Ryan was 11% better than the average pitcher over his entire career. Cy Young, who pitched way longer than Nolan Ryan, has 7,300 innings. Again, nobody else is even at 6,000, and nobody in the modern era is even, you know, 5,000. His ERA plus, 138. To give you an idea of how good 138 is, Greg Maddux is at 132. So Cy Young was better than his era by a larger margin for a longer time than Greg Maddux or Randy Johnson, who's at 136, right? So Cy Young, to me, blows every other pitcher out of the water, again, relative to his era. His stats are something that nobody will ever touch. And Tom Brady, his stats aren't there. His stats aren't going to be as good as Peyton Manning. You know, he might pass Brett Favre, Dan Marino if he plays another couple of years, but he's not going to pass Peyton Manning. The argument for Tom Brady is that he won more championships, which, again, I would argue has a lot to do with his defense and his coach, et cetera, et cetera. Cy Young, as an individual, did things that we'll never see ever again. So I'm definitely voting for Cy Young here.
You know, you make a good case for Cy Young. I've always been in the camp thinking that, certainly agreeing that he was great, not just a compiler, he was not as great as Christy Mathewson and Walter Johnson. Do you disagree with that?
I mean, Christy Mathewson's ERA plus is worse than his and played way less than him and played at the exact same time as him. They overlapped their entire careers. So, he's definitely better than Mathewson. Walter Johnson, you can make an argument. Walter Johnson's ERA plus is 147. He started in 1907 and pitched till 1927. So he comes in right as Cy Young is basically wrapping up. You know, to me, a lot of people say Walter Johnson's the greatest pitcher of all time. ESPN, when they did it, they had him number one. I have Walter Johnson number two behind Cy Young just because, again, like, the you know, Cy Young pitched 1,400 more innings. To me, it's just, you know, Cy Young started 150 more games.
Don't you feel like in most of the lists you see, Cy Young is not at the top of the pitching list? I mean, you have a lot of the new guys. I feel like Walter Johnson is almost, you know all the lists. I mean, you tell me.
Walter Johnson's often number one. When ESPN did their list, they had Cy Young number four. They had Greg Maddux and Pedro Martinez 3 and 2.
Wow.
Pedro was just ridiculous. Pedro pitched 2,800 innings. Three full Pedro careers is what Cy Young did.
The only thing about that, we have to look into it. Each inning is not equal. I mean, we know how the game is played today. You said nobody's going to get 300 wins again. To me, that's almost irrelevant to the argument, right? Wins don't matter anymore. The game is totally different.
Greg Maddux pitched almost twice as long as Pedro Martinez.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you on Pedro, but I'm saying when you're looking at Cy Young's 511 wins, as insane and mind-blowing as it is, you know, Candy Cummings had like 60 wins in a year or something like that. I mean, you have these guys from the 1800s.
Old Hoss Radborn, yeah.
Yeah, got yeah, right. He was like 59-12 or something. I mean,
why did none of those guys come close to him then?
And right, but they couldn't last. So Cy Young was able to do that and last forever. He's big time. But Tom Brady, I got to go. Tom Brady. I mean, he's arguably the. Listen, I'm a Jets fan. Okay, I hate saying this, but he's up there. You can debate that Tom Brady is the greatest ever in his sport, which is somewhat equivalent to Cy Young's sport. And Cy Young also played a long, long, long time ago. And while I made the argument in the very top of the show about the eras and you just go within their era, I do give a tiny demerit for someone who played 130 years ago versus someone who played now, just based on us not knowing as much and there not being as many players and not having to play against African Americans and Hispanics and all that kind of stuff. So when you take all that into account, I have to go Tom Brady on this one. But it's a really tough one, as all these matchups are.
Yeah, you guys both claim to be Jets fans, but you keep slurping Tom Brady. So, all right, Tom Brady, welcome to the Sweet 16.
I didn't know Jared was a Jets fan. That changes everything. Let's get Chester out of here.
All right, okay, next we got Jack Nicklaus against Ted Williams. So probably the greatest golfer of all time against probably the greatest pure hitter of all time. You know, Ted Williams, on most, you know, rankings of hitters, he's going to be number two behind Babe Ruth, maybe number three behind Barry Bonds. But again, you have to take into account the fact that he missed years of his prime for two different wars. If he plays those years and performs anywhere close,
I mean, if he had been better in the first war, there wouldn't have been a second war.
Well, they were fighting. Well, I think it's actually the other way around because, right, if we had lost the first war, there's no second war. It's only because we won the first war.
Yeah, but then we wouldn't play soccer.
But Sorry for ruining your joke. Yeah. All right. So Jack Nicklaus against Ted Williams. Which way?
Wait, wait. But guys, he wasn't in the first war in the Second War. He was in the Second War and the Korean Chester. War.
Yeah, we didn't mean like World Wars. Yeah, we meant the first war that he fought in.
Sorry, my bad.
Yeah. Yeah, if he was fighting World War One and World War Two, that's and playing baseball.
Talk about longevity. Also, talk about longevity.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Jack Nicklaus also a great fisher. Great at a bunch of.
No, Ted Williams.
Sports, so
great
who you want
Ted Williams. To me, I think like the fact that Williams was supposed to like the best fisher ever and the best ballroom dancer and stuff. To me, that boosts him over Jack Nicklaus. So I'm going Ted Williams here.
His head still survives. I think that Jack Nicklaus gets a boost because of what happened to Tiger Woods. Because we all saw Tiger Woods. Mm-hmm. And we all saw Tiger Woods, okay, he's the greatest golfer ever, and he's going to shatter Jack Nicklaus's records. And then he didn't, which makes us realize how hard what Nicklaus did was. And Nicklaus also, remember, he has all those 19 second-place finishes in majors. So he could have had even doubled it. It's not like, oh, he got lucky, you know. He was always at the top.
That's a great point. That's a great point on Woods. Sometimes we just... You know, we say, oh, 18, and like Woods gets like 14 in 10 years, and you think, oh, but then things happen. You know, like longevity is not a guarantee, and the fact that he was just able to churn him out, all the way to 1986. What was his first one? Probably in the early 60s, 61, 62, all the way to 86, still winning it. But I think.
I can hear either one. I don't know how I vote, but I'll say Jack Nicklaus so that we can let Jared make a deciding vote here.
I'm going to go Ted Williams based on. What you guys said. I mean, are we considering being a great Air Force pilot a sport? I don't know. But like, Ted Williams is one of those guys who people said was great at everything he tried. You know what I mean? And I don't know that, but I mean, he's certainly a great fisherman. What does that mean? I don't know. But I don't know. I feel like it's so close. Listen, I don't want to downplay how important golf is. Golf has been going on for a long, long time. It's a huge sport. It's not the big three or the big four in America or anything like that, but it's a huge historical sport, and he's the greatest of all time. So it's very tough. Ted Williams, I think, is the second best hitter of all time, but I don't think he's the second best player of all time.
All right. Okay, we're going
I
Ted
don't know.
Williams.
Okay. All right, Ted Williams.
The next one to me is the easiest one in this Thrifty 32 that we've had so far, so we might not even need Jared. Keith, it's Lance Armstrong against Willie Mays.
Well, it's funny that you think it's easy because, again, everyone rides a bike. If Lance Armstrong is the greatest at bike riding, then, you know, Willie Mays isn't necessarily the best baseball player ever. Plus, we're pro-steroids podcast, right? We have no problem with the fact that he doesn't actually have...
Well, Willie Mays was taking greenies. Everybody
Oh, yeah, greenies, uppers, downers, pills, poppers, heroin, whatever.
We like it
but
all.
But I'm still going to go with Willie Mays. Better athlete than Lance Armstrong.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. To me, the Lance Armstrong is the same thing as Michael Phelps. It's a limited thing he does. We don't really care about it. We cared about it because of him being so good at it, and he gets credit for that. But, you know, a lot of people will say that Willie Mays is the greatest baseball player of all time all around. And baseball is a zillion times more important. And also, yeah, Lance Armstrong, if he didn't cheat, maybe he has nothing. So, all right. Next, we have Roger Clemens against the aforementioned Michael Phelps. Keeve.
Yeah, to me, it's a no-brainer. Phelps is the best ever. Clemens, probably not. Also, maybe use some substances. Didn't try at some points during his career. Phelps was basically always dominant.
Who, Phelps or Clemens?
Phelps was dominant at four different Olympics. Okay. Phelps retired, came back, and was still the best. As a lark, was still the best.
You could say that about Clemens. Clemens was the best pitcher in the '80s. Then he was the best pitcher in the '90s. I mean, the thing about Roger Clemens is we just said how Cy Young's numbers are all impossible, can never be reached in the modern era, and yet Roger Clemens almost did. Like, to me, Roger Clemens, I have him number three as the all-time pitcher behind Cy Young and Walter Johnson. And if you're gonna say that guys who played over 100 years ago don't count, he's the greatest pitcher of all time. Did he use steroids for sure? But he did it for so long. I mean, this is a guy who won 7 Cy Young awards. That's Barry Bonds, right? He's the Barry Bonds of pitching.
Well, listen, he beat a lot of people.
His ERA plus
if you want, if this was Roger Clemens versus Ted Williams, we could actually have a debate. But to me, Phelps beats Clemens.
Roger Clemens has the greatest ERA plus of any pitcher who pitched 3,000 innings.
How many gold medals? In fact, he's the greatest. Just remind me.
Yeah. Michael Phelps does something for 2 weeks every 4 years.
Oh, yeah, I think he's got to practice for it.
Yeah, but nobody cares about it. Nobody really cares about swimming. Michael Phelps gets credit for making people care about swimming for
a few
hours.
Yeah, he made a sport. Clemens, you know, could have dropped off face there. Wouldn't have
really? But he didn't make it. He made it for himself. As soon as he's gone, nobody cares about it anymore. Same thing as bicycle.
Historically, people will care more about Michael Phelps than Roger Clemens, for sure.
I don't agree with you. All right, I'm saying Roger Clemens.
Guys, you said, Chester, you said 3,000 innings best ERA+, right? What was his ERA plus?
143.
Okay. Pedro was 28, 27 innings and had a 154. You know what? No, you're right. That's why
I made the cutoff there because
Pedro, I know. It's fair.
I'm looking down my list. Pedro's the only guy who's better than him, but Pedro played, you know, and Lefty Grove also is actually better than
him. Lefty Grove gets underrated too. I got to go. I'm a Phelps fanboy. He dominates his sport by so much. It's just, to me, he laps the field in his sport. Clemens is in the mix within a subcategory of his sport, right? He's in the top 3, 4, 5. Even if you want to say he's first, it's within just pitching, right? I mean, we'll get to this later with Babe Ruth, but then there's a whole other part of baseball, right? So to me, it's got to be Phelps. He dominates by too much. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he can come back to the next Olympics and do, you know, one of those, like, do like the 50-yard, you know, crawl and win that. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm a Phelps fanboy. I'm going Phelps.
All right. The next one we have should be very easy. I don't even think we need to discuss this yet. It's Jim Thorpe against Jackie Joyner-Kersee. Thorpe wins 2-0.
Yeah. It's a joke. I like Jackie Joyner-Kersee, but yeah, Thorpe wins here.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Okay, so Thorpe gets into the Sweet 16. Now we have Mario Andretti against Barry Bonds. Bonds, certainly the best baseball player.
No, it's, you know, Bonds. Since it's World Bonds. War II. Let's keep going.
Okay, all right, good. Okay. Barry Bonds beats Mario Andretti 2-0 as well. All right, so this is a matchup that should be in the Final Four. This is just a psychotically insane, intense matchup to be in the round of 32. It's Serena Williams, possibly the greatest female athlete of all time, against Babe Ruth, who dominated team sports like nobody ever has and ever will.
Let me ask you a question. We're much, like, bigger and stronger now than we used to be. Who wins in a fight?
I was just going to say that exact same thing.
We're 2017. Serious question. Who wins in a fight?
Babe Ruth was known in his time as this larger-than-life, gigantic, powerful guy, hitting more home runs than teams and everything like that. You look him up, he's like 6'2", 200 or whatever before he got really fat and everything like that. Serena Williams is bigger physically as a woman than Babe Ruth was as the biggest, most powerful man in the world. That, in a nutshell, tells you what you need to know about what's happened in the last 100 years to the human race.
I agree. I think...
But that's true about all sports. Refrigerator Perry was called the refrigerator because he was so fat. He would be the smallest offensive. I mean, he was 300 pounds.
I think he was a little more, but he'd be like a normal offensive lineman. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's got to be Babe. Babe Ruth is one overall.
Serena might have definitely had a chance to make the Final Four with a better bracket, but this is Babe Ruth.
Oh, wow. All right, fine.
You don't agree?
You're saying Serena has to be a serious contender to be the best athlete ever, and don't know. I don't know if that's fair. I don't know if she's consistent enough outside the majors as like a Big Ten.
I think she's. I would say she's the greatest female athlete ever.
You could say that, but I don't agree. And right. Ruth is again
okay.
The best pitcher ever, and Hall of Fame pitcher. You know, we really can't take that lightly. And again, there's no one. What's crazy is it's not like there was 30 hitter pitchers and Ruth was just the best hitter, the one we remember. There were very few, if any, other than him.
Yeah. Babe Ruth as a pitcher on the Braves was also one of the best.
It's crazy. Like we made a big deal out of like Brooks Kieschnick or all these.
His ERA was like 2.19 or something.
Crazy. Yeah.
But right. I feel like there's more Babe Ruth to get to when he gets further down the list because you can go on and on with Babe Ruth.
All right, okay. So who will he be facing in the Sweet 16? Will it be Richard Petty or Michael Johnson?
I mean, I think like a big part of athleticism is running fast. Michael Johnson's the fastest American ever. I think he's got to win this race.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, Petty. You made it to the
13th. And by the way, what a shame that you have – one thrifty 32 matchup of Serena and Babe Ruth, and the next one is Richard Petty and Michael Johnson.
Not as strong. Yeah. I mean, listen, Michael Johnson.
That's what happens when you don't. That's what happens when you don't see. But it is what
Michael
it is,
Johnson. So. Like, let's not let history, you know, sort of knock Michael Johnson. Like he,
Sully. Right.
Recency
right.
bias. Sometimes we assume whoever's most recent is best, but Michael Johnson is great. I mean, again, you know, he had that record for so long, and when records fall, like it just got broken flukily. In August, like he had the record for 20 years.
I will say this:
Michael Johnson's legacy is really bad. Like nobody, Michael Johnson was in our lifetimes, like when we were teenagers, was like the greatest Olympian, and yet nobody thinks of him anymore. He's like
it's weird. He's like the main track and field announcer for the BBC, so he's not in our lives. You don't hear him on TV every 4 years. He doesn't have that gig. Otto Bolden has that gig.
But I feel like
why do they give it to Otto Bolden instead of Michael Johnson?
Otto Bolden's really good. He's like one of the best announcers in any sport.
Yeah.
He like is a, you know.
Mm-hmm. I think Bolt will be remembered in 10, 15 years
There's a very really simple answer to that question. The 100-meter dash is the main race, and the 200 and the 400 are not nearly as big.
So because he was better at
the 100 meters is what matters.
And because he's more of a larger-than-life
personality. Right, Michael Johnson was a little bit more stoic.
The guy was running around in gold shoes.
He was a big talker, but Bolt is just like an electric personality. I mean, Michael Johnson would have had like 5 million followers on Twitter if he was, you know, if Twitter existed in 1996.
But I agree, just the final thing. I agree that we should not sully the memory of Michael Johnson because some 6'5" guy who should be playing basketball was somehow able to run faster than all
these
little
Michael Johnson's guys. Still alive, so sully the memories.
Sully the sports achievement memories.
Yeah. All right, okay, let's go to the other side of the bracket. Ty Cobb against Jerry Rice. To me, this one, Ty Cobb, one of the greatest baseball players of all time, but Jerry Rice, most would say the greatest football player of all time, certainly relative to his position. So
by the way, guess how many followers Michael Johnson has on Twitter, at MJ Gold.
800,000.
60,000 followers. You know what? We should almost knock him out of the bracket for that. That's like embarrassing.
how many does Babe Ruth have?
A fake Babe Ruth account would have more than that, honestly.
Yeah, how much is the fake old Ross old Haas Radborn account?
Probably more.
Hold on, I just googled Babe Ruth Twitter, and I mean, there's a lot of things that come up, but the first one that comes up has 3,993 followers, but hasn't tweeted.
Okay, what's the matchup?
Out. Ruth is out.
Cobb versus Jerry Rice.
All right, we gotta.
Yeah, it's a really tough one. I'm gonna go Jerry Rice though.
Jerry Rice laps the field in his own position. It's Jerry Rice.
All right, 2-0. All right, now we got Henry Armstrong against Muhammad Ali, a couple of boxers, and Henry Armstrong.
I mean, the weakest guy in the 32. He's gone. Ali next.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wouldn't even have to do the rope-a-dope on him. No question.
Yeah. All right, now we have Martina Navratilova against Peyton Manning. I'm definitely voting Peyton here.
It's interesting. You could definitely make a case for Martina. Very tough matchups for Serena and Martina. We're going to be very low on women if Serena loses.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah, we still have two women alive after Navratilova, but they're both in trouble,
Manning,
I would say.
But it's not crazy to say Navratilova, that's for sure.
All right. Okay, now we have a fantastic matchup. So similar. You know, the easiest comparison I'd say of anybody we've had yet. It's a debate that people have already had before the existence of this tournament, which is not true for just about any of these other matchups. It's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar against Wilt Chamberlain.
I just think Wilt's best day, he's just so much better than Kareem. And, you know, having a team with just Wilt, ultimately, I think, is a better team than having a team with Kareem and 11 scrubs. So I'm going to go with Wilt.
Yeah, I mean, on my all-time greatest NBA players of all time list, of course, where I say there's three guys you can make an argument are the greatest basketball player of all time: Michael Jordan, Wilt Chamberlain, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And right now we're forced to decide between two of them. By the slightest of margins, I have Wilt at 2 and Kareem at 3. But I would hear arguments in either direction because Kareem's career was, you know, 50% longer. Kareem was, you know, as dominant as Wilt. I would have given Kareem, if it was up to me, I give Kareem 11 Chester MVPs, which is the most ever. Wilt only has 8. So, you know what, I'm going to let Jared decide. So I'm going to say Kareem.
I'm not going to, but I would love to do an hour podcast just on this matchup right here. This is my favorite thing, my favorite sport.
This podcast less popular, and now I think we found the idea.
Well, that's sort of a version of the basketball one you guys had.
I can't have seen you as like a mini Chester. He's not liking it.
No, I do. It would be a good idea
for the sake of
you guys. Could have like an
Chester. How many emails have we gone back and forth on the NBA list? I mean, we've gone. So
no,
I think I had
CC me in more, but now I'm saying like out me on that one.
No, you don't want to be CC'd on this stuff. Trust me. This is so cool. This is so great. I didn't know about Chester MVPs till about 3 or 4 months ago. And Kareem, and I respect them, and Kareem is great at that. And Kareem, I think, is fourth best player of all time.
Who do you have ahead of him?
I have, we've had big fights about this. I have LeBron, Wilt,
LeBron
and
okay.
Jordan.
I have LeBron at 4 right now. Mm.
Yeah. Right. So the top four we both agree are Wilt, Kareem, Jordan, and LeBron. But I have Wilt too. He dominated his era more than Kareem did by a lot, Okay.
Again, Kareem was the best player 11 times. Wilt was only the best player 8 times.
But Wilt was more the best player than Kareem. I mean, the idea that in 61, 62, Wilt didn't even win MVP. Russell did with 50.4 and what was it, 26.7 rebounds a game. Yeah. It's ridiculous. I mean, one of the most overrated players of all time, in my opinion. Hot take, Bill Russell, averaging, 16 points a game and even still less rebounds than Chamberlain. And he's winning MVPs, not to mention Oscar going 30-11-11 doesn't even win the MVP because of the winning, whatever, blah, 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 because he has all the Hall of Famers on his team. I'm going off the beaten path here. Wilt dominates more. It's got to be Wilt, and I feel bad, but it's Wilt.
Okay. All right. Now we have Simone Biles, the youngest entry to our bracket, against Deion Sanders, who, as we discussed 2 weeks ago, not just that he's quite possibly the greatest cornerback of all time, but was also a MVP caliber baseball player the 1 year that he played baseball the entire season. So just, incredible athlete in two sports.
I was riding Simone Biles' horse. She made it. She definitely deserved to make it. Here's my problem, thing about Simone. She won the 3 world championships. She's never lost a major competition. A lot of times these women don't come back for round 2. And again, she's at the old spec. She was sort of old for a... You can't start till you're 19, and she started when she was... You can't start till you're 16. She started when she was 19. Because she was too young for the last one. So she's going to be 23, which is ancient if she makes it to the next one. To me, she's got to continue this and be great at a second Olympics to be anything other than just the greatest Olympian ever, which to me is a big deal. She was so big. If you watch the Olympics, she was in every single commercial. It was insane. She was literally in 8 different commercials.
How will her performance in Dancing with the Stars?
On the RHAP network, I said that her goal in terms of stardom should be win every gold medal. She won all but one, and become too famous to go on Dancing with the Stars. I said that this August, and now she's going on. And to me, she failed. She should be above Dancing with the Stars, which is
when she's competing against the Giants running back who just got cut.
Yeah, or Victor Cruz or whoever.
Or the Bachelor guy.
Wait, there's two former Giants competing this year?
Oh, I don't.
I thought just Rashad Jennings.
Rashad Jennings? I thought they got Victor Cruz. That's insanely bad if the guy they got was Rashad Jennings.
Yeah, Simone Biles gets Rashad Jennings.
Yeah, someone posted on my Twitter feed Peyton Manning's doing it. I'm like, no, Peyton Manning's not going to Dancing with the Stars.
Okay, so Deion wins 2-0.
Can I talk about this one for a minute? Because I've thought some because Keith, I'm going to you on this, Mr. Olympics. So Mr. Olympiad or Mr. Olympics? Which one? What do you like to
wheels.
Go by?
I like wheels.
Oh, just wheels. Okay. Oh, so forget it. So I'll go to you on Richard Petty and Mario Andretti. Got it. Okay. No, but Simone Biles, how could she be considered the greatest Olympian or all this kind of stuff?
I think he meant the greatest gymnast.
But still, she's in one, and you just kind of adjusted that a little bit now. But she's been in one Olympics. I get the age thing. It's a tough break. But you got to die. I mean, I don't remember, some Eastern European...
Listen, Jared, we're going to update this every year, and in 4 years when we do the 2020 version, maybe Simone Biles will have a better...
No, I agree, but that's my point. No, that's my point. That's exactly my...
And wins again.
Who is the Eastern European gymnast who was competing, I think she just did the one that you flip, the pommel horse. She was competing in her 6th Olympics or something like that. I know it was in one thing, but she was 48 or something like that. I mean... Simone Biles, you can't just dominate one Olympics and be one of the greatest Olympians of all time, in my opinion. I mean, I understand I know the championships and everything like that, but nobody knows about that kind of stuff. Listen, you had Allie Raceman do great in one. She came back 4 years later and she did great in another one. They're very close,
not really.
Right?
I mean, Biles is just better at every single thing than...
But it's close. But I think it's pretty close, I mean, they're competitive.
The idea of her greatness is the gulf between her and the second best one is smaller than number 2 to number 60.
Okay. Well, if that's true, that's impressive. 60, but I still think she needs to come back.
Okay, I agree. All right, so Deion wins. I hear you. Let's move this along. Next matchup is a big one.
All right, okay, now we have... Yeah, we got a big matchup here. It's also the last woman in the tournament, and it's a very... Serena and Babe Didrikson Zaharias with just awful, awful, awful matchups. I feel bad for both of them because I thought they both were Final Four Elite Eight type contestants. So it's Babe Didrikson Zaharias against LeBron James. Keith, do you want to go first here? You want me to go first? What do you want to do?
I'll go first. Okay, so to me, LeBron right now you have to have him about the fifth or sixth best basketball player of all time. You could say a little lower. You could definitely say a little higher. But his legacy is not. But let's say he retired today. Like, is he still on this list in 10 years? Yes, but you know, he still needs to accomplish a little bit more. Again, people are saying he's slipping. He's at 26-8-8 right now. LeBron James might end up.
And when the playoffs come, he will be the best player in the league again, without question.
Keith, he's on this list forever.
Oh, I'm not saying
ridiculous.
He's not. My question is he a contender in 10 years? If you retired today, is he? Because right now, he's not a contender to win, but he's certainly a Final Four candidate. All right, let's talk about Babe Didrikson DeHarris, because people don't know about her.
Give a little love to Babe.
One of the best women's golfers ever.
Ten LPGA.
Just listen. One of the best women's golfers ever.
Excuse me.
And she won the Olympic gold medal in the hurdles and the javelin. Two much different things.
Two gold medals.
Much different things.
Totally different.
She won her last two golf tournaments while dying of colon cancer. My vote is for Babe Didrikson DeHarris.
Wow.
She also. She was a star All-American.
Yeah, she was
player.
Literally like the best in the country, the best female athlete at any sport she tried.
Baseball player, softball player, expert diver.
Literally the best female athlete in the country at every sport.
And bowler.
Everything.
There's a counter.
By the way, shouldn't there be a? You know how like the decathlon is kind of 10 similar sports? It's like a lot of running and throwing. Yeah.
So you want 10 total
sports. Decathlon should be like one-on-one in the NBA, bowling, golfing, tennis.
I absolutely love this.
I think we're gonna like patent this.
I can't imagine. I mean, that everybody would watch that. That would be the highest.
That would be amazing.
By far.
That's the best thing ever.
That's such a good idea.
Athletes don't want to train. And what I don't understand is why the Battle of the Network Stars went away from the 70s.
Let's bring it back. But with athletes, not with celebrities.
Like, how about LeBron trying to sink a huge putt, you know what I mean? And then diving into the pool, you know?
What was your favorite thing about gym growing up? It was always the obstacle
course,
right?
Oh, I hated that. I can't climb.
Oh, it was so much fun.
Do you mean the climbing rope?
What was the best part of Color War? No, the obstacle course is when you have to do 75 things. Yeah.
Playing basketball.
The best part of Color War. No, the apex of Color War
have you seen
was
singing. I'm hanging up the thing. What camp did you go to growing up? You didn't. I went to Marsha. You didn't go to Marsha. Are you older than
promise.
Me?
Oh, we got an.
I'm an 81.
Oh, yeah, you're older than me. Okay. Okay. Right. I went for 11 years.
So Babe Didrikson DeHarris. All right, enough of this. The counter to everything that we just said about how great she was is who was her competition? The fact that one person could be the best at every single thing she ever entered either means.
Just
that
to
she
be clear,
was
Jared, Chester's taking a big shot at every woman alive in the 1930s. Okay.
His take on women is well established. Wait, don't worry.
I'm just saying, how many people was she competing against? Let's put it this way: if Babe Didrikson DeHarris came today, would she be the best in all these sports? Would she make the WNBA?
No.
So that's part of it. LeBron James is one of the greatest three or four basketball players of all time, based on his career in the NBA thus far. If we took every NBA player in their physical prime and through a time machine put them on the court today, LeBron would wipe the floor with all of them, right? Like, Will Chamberlain and Kareem would be, you know, good centers. But, you know, in other words, as we said, this is like the Mike Trout argument, that whoever's the best now is the best ever from an athletic competition perspective. But also, LeBron is also in the conversation for best ever in terms of his actual performance and achievements, which Mike Trout isn't, obviously.
Right.
LeBron has that. And also, if LeBron wanted, I say without a question, he'd be a Hall of Fame football player. Without a doubt.
And we don't know, but I hear what
It's very hard to be off. You get injured once, your football career is basically over.
Well, he means a great player if he played right.
If he was born in most of the countries in the world, he'd be one of the greatest soccer players.
And we've never
like LeBron
seen a soccer
is a freak
player
athlete.
Size, but it's reasonable to believe that's possible, yeah. I mean, Russell Westbrook would be better because Russell Westbrook has more gas in him than LeBron. Russell Westbrook is also six years
younger than LeBron.
Russell Westbrook could be the best soccer player in the world in 2 years. I know everyone agrees with that.
Guys,
When LeBron was Russell's age, he had a team with less talent than Russell's team now, and he took them to the finals.
I mean, that East was hot garbage. Like, who did they beat?
That's true. Who they beat? True, but still. No, LeBron took – no. For the first year that LeBron took him to the finals against the Spurs, he was 22 years old.
That's what I'm saying. That team was so bad.
He was like Andrew Wiggins.
Who was the second best?
You guys remember what LeBron did in that game when he scored like 28 mm-hmm. straight points against
the Pistons. The champion
Pistons, the best defense in the NBA.
He was 22 years old.
He took Ben Wallace, Rasheed Wallace, went right William at them, Wallace. Was jamming in their face. It was absolutely every Wallace you could imagine. It was ridiculous what he was doing. I don't want to – you guys are getting a little too ahead about just saying LeBron would be the best in every sport. Like, can you stick him in baseball and you'd be – there's different skills for each sport. I agree with football because it's about raw athleticism. We know he could catch. We see his size. We see his body type. Don't just assume he'd be a great soccer player. Don't just assume he'd be a great baseball player and things like that. That's not the point.
I didn't say baseball.
I know, and I'm saying – I hear you. But that's not the point. I just want to, you know, pump the brakes on that a little bit.
But I'm saying that – I think that Babe Didrikson Zaharias' success at all these different sports was because she had that athleticism.
She wasn't facing anybody. I think that's how many women were playing basketball in the 40s? How many women were playing golf in the 40s? How many were?
I apologize to Babe, but she's out to me. It's 1-1, so I vote for LeBron, but apparently Jared's going to decide.
Let me tell you this. If I was like most people and had LeBron as like the third or fourth best player of all time right now, I would go Babe. But I actually have LeBron number one overall in basketball history. I think he is the best basketball player of all time. The numbers are very close. Chester and I have debated this for a while. The numbers between him and Jordan are very close. I think give LeBron 3 or 4 more years, he will surpass Jordan in win shares and all those kind of things, in the counting stats, in the rate stats. He won't quite catch him in championships. We all know that's BS. LeBron James, I think, right now and will be the greatest basketball player of all time. So therefore, I can't take the greatest basketball player of all time and put him behind a do-it-all athlete that we really don't know that much about and kind of random. And I love the versatility. That's why I love Dion. I didn't speak on him, but I love the versatility of athletes. And Diedrich and Zaharias would be very high for me. But since I put LeBron number one overall, I have to do it. If I had him 2 or 3, I would probably pick Babe because I have LeBron 1 overall, which is debatable, but that's my feeling. I go in with LeBron.
Interesting.
All right, and with that, we got no women in our suite.
Classic. Season. That was your goal all along.
And I also did it to get on Chester's good side because I know he didn't want any more women. So I did that too.
Wait, well, hold on. You're supposed to come on the podcast and beat Team Akiva, not Team Chester.
I'll say it is very unfortunate because, you know, again, I thought that both Serena Williams and Babe Diedrichsen Zaharias were people who were going to be headed to the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight.
Can we argue they're the two greatest women athletes of all time? Is that a fair argument?
Yeah, I think you'd rank them 1-2 probably at this point.
Yeah. But they both just got just atrocious.
I mean, Babe Diedrichsen Zaharias kind of been lost the time. I feel like I don't wonder if there's like a documentary about her. I'm still thinking about that.
Yeah, I'd like to see more on.
That we got to get back to the decathlon idea. I know we don't have time now, but we got to like pick the 10 sports. We're going to do this. It's such a good idea.
Okay. All right. So now we got two last spots to make it to the Sweet 16. Carl Lewis against Tiger Woods. Akiva, the first time we did our Greatest American Athletes of All Time podcast in 2008, Tiger Woods went all the way to the finals.
That was who's now on SportsCenter. You're mixing them up. Yeah. Who's now? Who would win now in 2017? Is it LeBron? Is it Steph? Is it Brady?
Still LeBron.
LeBron won. Probably step two, Brady.
LeBron proves in the playoffs. LeBron proves in the playoffs every year.
Yeah, you're probably right.
All right, so but Tiger Woods was, 10 years ago, considered for sure the greatest golfer of all time, a guy who revolutionized the sport, introduced it to whole swaths of America who didn't care. I mean, I count myself. I never watched a golf tournament before Tiger, and to this day, the only time I ever watch golf is if it's Sunday Major and Tiger's out, which means I haven't watched golf.
I was dying with that.
Yeah. But his epic collapse, I think to me, even though, again, I think that he would have been a Final Four contestant 10 years ago. This is why it's hard to judge guys when they're still playing. To me, Carl Lewis sneaks by because Carl Lewis wasn't just a sprinter, but was doing all the kinds of things.
Like I said, Carl Lewis was Usain Bolt in 1984, if Bolt was also the world's best long jumper. And to me, the sprinting and long jumping, it's like we just take our best athletes and they go to college in the United States and you're at like Florida State or Kentucky or whatever. And it's like these guys are generally playing football or basketball, and maybe a track coach convinces them. And like literally it's the best athletes in the country, essentially the best athletes in the whole world, and he's the best long jumper. Won 4 long jumps, which is bananas. Won both of them in 88. But, Tiger Woods was so – we expect golfers to be good for 30 years, But it's fine if a golfer is only good for 20 years. And, that you know, Tiger...
But Tiger Woods was
still good for about 15. And
was so dominant.
I mean, he won a quarter of the events he started. When he missed the cut, it was insane. And there were plenty of years it didn't happen. He was just so much better than anyone else. And he would win, you know, he'd win tournaments by 8 shots. He won... You know how hard it is to win a golf tournament? The 100 best golfers in the world are golfing, and you have to beat 99 of them. Like, finishing fourth is freaking amazing. Yeah. So to me, it's an obvious win.
Right, like...
Tiger Woods.
There's no comparison with when people compare majors of...
Wait, you're saying Tiger
Woods? Of course it's Tiger Woods. He's the best golfer ever, and he's better at golf than almost anybody on this list was at their sport.
And this is coming from Mr. Wheels, not Mr. Olympiad, Mr. Wheels.
He broke the sport. You know, he basically
But then his career was done.
You're allowed to get injured after 15 years. He has a body of work.
But 15 years in golf is equivalent to 4 years in baseball. No, or football.
Guys, can I give you some insight into the end of Tiger Woods' career? Because I think I may have had something to do with it.
Oh boy,
November 28th.
Were you a cocktail waitress?
God, I don't know where to go on that one. November 28th, 2009. That was the night that the news broke with a golf club smashed through Tiger Woods' car by Elin Nordegren. Was that his wife's name?
Well, I think she was Woods at the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
But
I don't remember ever being.
You just know, Jared, that Chester is very firm. Every woman has to take their husband's last name.
Right. No. Right. I forgot about that. Right. My bad.
I don't understand what's
this
happening.
This is a little narrative we're developing here.
Right.
So where did I see that? Was on CNN all day. Where did I see all that stuff? In the delivery room with my wife giving birth to my first kid, my son. That night, while she's complaining,
so you named him Tiger.
Well, so while she's complaining, whatever, blah blah blah, give me this, give me the meds, whatever. I'm sitting here watching the Tiger story 500 times in a row. Since that day, my son is now 7.5 years old. Since that day, he has not won a major, and besides that 1 year where he popped in and won 5 tournaments, he has not.
But your son's a terrible golfer. Like, I'm sorry.
What?
You said your son hasn't won a major in 7.5 years. I'm saying he sucks at golf. That sucks.
He's not a great golfer. It's true. He's won a few regular events, but no majors yet. We're working on it, though. No, but sorry, but yeah, it's kind of funny story. Like Tiger, to that point, he was easily going to be the greatest golfer of all time. There was no debating it. He was only a matter of time till he passed Nicholson, and by how much, and everything like that. And then, boom! That one moment, the scandal breaks out, everything like that. And I think everyone still thought he'd bounce back and win a few majors.
And
that was it. That was it. And so here's my question.
Now people are still in denial. And are still
yeah. Well, now it's forget it. Now it's totally over. Now, but here's my question: can you still make the argument that he still is the greatest golfer of all time? It doesn't just have to be.
Yeah.
You don't just count majors, right? I mean, he was more dominant within what was it from '97 through '09, that 12-year stretch, than. I mean, Nicholson won it, won majors, what, 25 years apart. Tiger won all of his in a 12-year stretch. So I'm not saying I necessarily definitely would make that argument, but you could make the argument that Tiger still is the best golfer of all time.
All right, so who do you go with, Carl Lewis or Tiger Woods?
Having said all that, I'm going Carl Lewis.
He had more
versatility. Carl Lewis was the preeminent athlete of my childhood.
Yeah.
He was versatile. He was the running, the jumping.
Maybe it's the year 2 years older than us because he wasn't in our childhood at all.
Is that true? You really don't remember him?
I mean, I remember.
I'm shocked, by the way. I thought Keith was going to say Carl Lewis here for sure. I'd already.
Why, you think I'm just the Olympics guy?
It's funny. I think you've gone all anti-Olympics today. I might be wrong, but I think
a lot of the Olympic stuff is like Chester said, you show up and you just win one race. Like, Phelps,
well, to me, it's the craziest thing in the world. These people train their entire life for this one moment, and like they have an itch on their back leg for 2 seconds, and their life is over. It's like talk about pressure. That is the ultimate pressure that any. I mean, pressure is a big part, right?
Yeah,
pressure,
that's why I like the Olympics.
Going in a big spot. That is a big part in all athletics and how we judge people. The clutch gene, all this kind of stuff. I mean, these guys and girls have it more than anybody, or at least have to succeed, right? I mean, like think about Phelps going for his 8 perfect gold medals and what had to happen. For that to happen, one tiny little thing by even one of his teammates in a relay or something like that. I mean, the heightened pressure.
Well, like when he beat the French, yeah. But the crazy, like you look at Usain Bolt, for example. Usain Bolt does have all those bad hitches. He gets off late starts, etc. But he's so dominant that
he wins
anyway.
Right, right. He's a large.
When he turns around and starts taunting the crowd, you know,
he's just a larger than life thing. And I was going to say before, that's what kind of hurts Michael Johnson. The way he just makes a mockery of the whole field. Kind of, that's why I don't think we should forget Michael Johnson. But as far as this, I mean, Keith, how many different Olympics did Lewis compete in?
I think 5. Or maybe only that's 4 because he misses.
I think 4.
Because he misses 80 and he starts in 84, I think.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Yeah. I remember being in elementary school, he was the first guy to break the 10-second 100-yard dash, and he was also doing the long jump. And it's close. Tiger's great. I'm going. Listen, all these matchups are great. I got to go Carl Lewis on this. It's very close. Okay. Very close.
Last matchup.
All right. And the last matchup of the Thrifty 32, it's going to be 2-0. It's easy. It's Michael Jordan against Joe Montana.
Yeah, Montana could have maybe beaten Montana Carl Lewis. Then we're talking, you know. But
Before you guys just end this, could I just say, aren't they very similar? Right? Aren't they sort of the guy that most people pick as the greatest in their sport of all time? They played in the same era.
No, hold on. You cannot compare Montana to Jordan.
I would pick Jordan, but I just want to make this comparison, right? Mm. They're both loved because they were perfect in the championship game, right? That stupid argument that Joe Montana is better than, let's say, Tom Brady because he's 4-for-4 in the Super Bowls. Well, Tom Brady is only 5-2. Like it's worse.
But there's a difference. Yeah. But there's a difference because Joe Montana wouldn't even make the Super Bowl a bunch of times.
I agree with you.
Michael Jordan made it to the championship and won it every single year, right?
Once he made it, every
year of his career, if he doesn't take those 2 years off,
well,
he's 18.
Well, you don't know that. Maybe he pulled apart.
So he never got upset like, you know, Montana would lose to the Giants or the Cowboys or whatever.
Wins. I just think there are some interesting parallels to the two of them. They basically played in the same era. They were the dominant winner. As great as they both are.
Gretzky, Jordan, and Montana were all the best at their sports at the same time, I agree. But Montana was the best by the smallest margin of those three.
Right.
So, and again, Montana has Jerry Rice, who's still in this bracket.
And probably, Gretzky not being in the – Gretzky would win it all, in my opinion, because of his lack in the field and his own thing.
I think you can't not have Gretzky win if he's in it. I agree.
Right. So anyway.
I don't know about that. But I mean, he would obviously be
he's
like –
He's so much better than one of the leading contenders.
He's more better than anyone else in an important sport.
Except for Chestnut.
As I said, in an important sport.
Well, exactly. I mean, nothing's more. Are you anti July 4th? Is this like an anti-American rant you're going to go on?
I hate America. Oh, okay. Me to America is Chester to women.
Oh, no. We hear your accent. We know it's not even possible.
Yeah. All right. So here's our Sweet 16 for next week.
No, I think the Sweet 16 we're putting on Twitter.
Tom Brady against Ted Williams. Willie Mays against Michael Phelps. Jim Thorpe against Barry Bonds, Babe Ruth against Michael Johnson, Jerry Rice against Muhammad Ali, Peyton Manning against Will Chamberlain, Deion Sanders against LeBron James, and Carl Lewis against Michael Jordan.
I think the track guys are going to have a tough time, but some good matchups.
I think next week might even be a little easier than this week in terms of the matchups. I think.
Well, because, the powerhouses are now sort of coming into play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So, Jared, thank you so much for joining us. We got it to the Sweet 16.
Jared, do you have something to plug?
Nah, I got nothing.
You're not on Twitter?
I am on Twitter, but I have, no followers. I just follow, news people.
Why do you think you have no followers? Because you go on a very popular podcast and you don't even plug
it. You know what? That's a good point. Okay, everybody, you know what? That's a great point. What is even my Twitter handle?
That's a bad start. Keith and I have been fighting endlessly all week about the League of Leagues.
Oh, yeah, the League of Leagues. Jared, how come you're not in the League of Leagues? Do you not play fantasy sports?
Sounds like a guy who'd be interested in it.
I don't do fantasy. My thing with fantasy is anytime I see someone...
You really do sound like Mike and the Mad Dog. I don't do fantasy.
I'm both. Mike and the Mad Dog, they're like complete opposites.
No, and Twitter, Mike is so anti-Twitter, he thinks no one should be on Twitter.
Yeah.
But I'm not insulted because I know you don't know Mike and the Mad Dog well. Saying I'm like Mike and the Mad Dog nowadays is basically saying I'm some New York oaf who knows nothing about what's going on.
And a massive Trump supporter.
Right, but it's also saying that I am number one in what I do. So I'll take that.
As a big Mike guy, don't you sort of have some resentment towards these people who've been a Mike person for 4 years, since Twitter got popular?
I've listened to Mike. No, I mean, listen, he's a disaster, but I've listened to him. Right? You mean like this new thing about like Mango Nation and everything.
A lot of these people don't even remember Andy Pettitte's starting pitcher.
You know? Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Which was every day for a year, maybe 2 years, Mike would have a 2-hour debate about Jobber Chamberlain and Andy Pettitte. Jobber Chamberlain is literally the person Mike talked about the most in the 30-year history of his show, without question. Every day was 2 hours on Jobber Chamberlain. And
he always claimed all,
and all
he
these
always
new
claimed
people
all he had
don't was, remember.
Well, you can't blame people for being young. I mean, were you saying they're too young, or they just didn't pick up
they
on it?
They didn't pick up on it until Twitter, and they're sort of like, they embraced them later, which is funny. But and the show is so unlistenable now, it's amazing.
No, it's ridiculous. I'm sure you're like me. The days before podcasts and different things like that, it was all you just listened to them all day. I mean, that's what you did. You listened to these two idiots debating stuff. They don't.
I mean,
I've
listened. I can't even count how many thousands of hours I've listened to Francesa. I literally can't count. I mean, there were so many years where I listened the whole day from 1 to 6:30.
Ridiculous.
I mean, and then on Sunday for like the NFL Now, which is so bad. And he like replays the canned interviews from Friday. His podcast is going to get like 20 listens. Do you remember? Like, he's really bad with technology. Do you remember his app that he talked about for like a year?
Yeah, he said he was going to come up with like the greatest thing of all time that nobody's ever heard of.
And within like 3 weeks, no one ever spoke of it again. Yeah,
I never even knew it existed. I didn't even know if it. I didn't. To this day, I forgot about it.
Like,
I just
it
remember
came out and it was like very early in the app game, and then and like it just died right away.
Because he has no idea what is this app. Well, what
you
is call,
but say? Also, if you called him up right now and like got through and mentioned the app, he would say it never happened because he's such a liar. He would be like, it never came out.
I used to like send emails to my friends when he would make arguments on guys and then callers would call up like Jeter's the best whatever, right? And then like a guy would I could go even more New York. And then a guy would like call up and be like, "What are you talking about?" Like A-Rod said, and he's like, "No, Jeter had 130 runs and 98 RBIs." And he would just flat out, he wouldn't even round up. He would make up the numbers. I would go to Baseball Reference and I would be like real-time emailing chatting a friend.
Yeah.
Right. No, but he was clearly reading it because he was close, but he would just push it up like random amounts, but he would make it sound real. So he wouldn't push it up from 95 to 100. He would push it from 95 to 102.
Yeah. Oh,
you know what I mean?
You can round up an 810 OPS to 1,000 if you want.
No, but he would round it. No, but that would be too obvious. He would round 810 up to 993. Of course, he doesn't know what OPS is, so he wouldn't do. He would just Well, how about this? How did they judge who would get into the Hall of Fame? Right?
Yeah.
How many Hall of Fame years they have, dog? How many Hall of Fame years? 26, 101, 300.
Yeah.
One Hall of Fame year.
Yeah. Yep.
Two Hall of Fame years. All right, 8 Hall of Fame years. Juan Gonzalez. Yeah. He's in. That's what it was.
Yeah, they would do that after the Hall of Fame announcement. They wouldn't discuss it for a few weeks. And then they would do it that they would like forget that it existed, and that's exactly what they would do. They do 26, 101, 310. All they'd look at was batting average, home run, RBI. It was amazing, and they did this every
year.
I will miss him so much, even though he's so terrible at this point.
I feel bad for Chester. Who's the Mike and the Mad Dog of Minnesota?
So I would listen to Minnesota to this talk radio on KFAN, the sports channel. But my national show that I liked was Scotty Farrell.
You guys know
that
guy. He was on WFAN, 1-800 Farrell on the bench. Bench went on.
Yeah.
And you call and you'd say, you'd call up and say, Scott, you're the man. And you'd say, how can I be the man if you're the man?
Yeah, exactly.
That was his answer to every single person. I gotta be the man.
He was
the Atlanta Thrashers announcer for years.
I called into his show.
I think you tell me, but you can say the story.
So I called into his show when I was like 13, and I was pretty funny. So then they liked me. So then they gave me like a different number to call to like not have to wait or whatever. And then I called a couple more times, and then after a couple times, the number stopped working. So I guess I overused my privilege. But yeah, that was the show I listened to. Mike and the Mad Dog—they weren't simulcast.
Yeah, no. That's one thing in New York we took for granted that we did have options with that kind of thing. Because I feel like around most of the country, especially in like the early and mid '90s, I feel like there wasn't even sports radio at all. Right? I could be wrong, but I think it was very limited if there was. So it's something that.
Well, there was, but it was only one channel, and it wasn't like we only had live stuff. Like in the night, they would just play like ESPN Radio. You know, like they only had their own stuff from like
right.
5
but I mean,
PM
right. But
PM
I'm saying, right. Yeah, okay. At least it was something. So.
Well, ESPN Radio didn't even exist till like we were a little older.
or whatever it was. But I mean, I listened to KFAN all the time when I was in junior high.
I gotta admit, what else would he would play a lot of Metallica, Scott Frill, coming in and out of breaks.
Yeah, you'd call
did
in.
He, I
feel
like he knew nothing about sports,
no,
right?
Didn't he know about yesterday? Nothing. His thing is gambling. He's very, he has one of these, like,
right.
He has one of these, like, gambling websites now you go to and, like, he emails you a pick every day for like $59.99.
He was even on SNY for a short time. You remember that?
Yeah,
he was on SNY.
When Howard Stern started his second channel, he was like the first show he added. He was like on. He was in the Howard Stern world for a while.
But I'm saying he was also on SNY. You know, the Met station.
Yeah,
he was
I don't remember him on SNY.
Like Wheelhouse. Yeah, he was on like you know, there was a few shows on in the afternoon. He was on one of those shows. Whatever. I don't know what we're talking about, Scott Farrell. But yeah.
1-800-BENCH-29. I can't remember any of his other catchphrases besides, how can I be the man if you're the man? Which he would say to every single caller. You'd have to call up, say, Frill, you're the man. How can I be the man if you're the man? You're right, he knew nothing about sports.
He had literally the worst voice you could possibly have. I mean, right?
Yeah, my parents
for,
would
for radio.
It was on late at night. It was on at like 11 or something. And my parents would come in the room like, oh, you got to shut that off. It's awful.
Was there anything better than turning on 1 a.m. Joe Benigno after a crushing loss of one of our teams?
No, crushing Mets loss, you got that, like, it's funny because I don't listen to Benigno now, but, right, that's, by the way, if you want to be a real masochist, you ever, like, see, let's say, like, the team you beat has, like, you beat a team and, like, you go to, like, the Mets beat the Cardinals, you go to, like, St. Louis Radio online, like, the minute after the loss.
I never do that.
But I've tried it a couple times, it's really funny because you get to, like, you know, lick the other team's tears. It's like...
All right, I'll try it. Listen, I have enough pain with my own teams. And by the way, you should too. We didn't get into this, but I don't know how somehow you came away with being a Spurs fan. I sent you guys that Spurs email about them being the best franchise of all time. As a Mets Jet, as a fellow Mets Jets guy, I don't know how you got away with murder or somehow being a Spurs fan, and I'm not so happy about it.
Listen, if it was recent... You know, if I was a front runner, fine, but they weren't even good. I mean, they had David Robinson, but he didn't even start playing by the time I started rooting for the Spurs.
How did that even happen? How did you become
I think
Spurs?
The story is that my dad and I were watching a game, and the Knicks were really bad, and they were losing to the Spurs. Or they were losing maybe to the Blazers, and he said like, you shouldn't root for the Knicks, they stink. But, like, the team they were losing to, whether it was the Blazers or the Sonics or some team out West, was also bad. He's like, nah, what about, like, the Spurs? Because... they drafted this guy, but he's not eligible yet to play.
So you should have told your dad to do that with the other sports,
well,
too.
Well, I mean, the Jets... So my grandfather bought Jets season tickets in 1965, the week the Jets signed Joe Namath. And he still, you know, and we still have them. He still goes to the games.
Right,
so I didn't really have much of a choice with the Jets. And, you know, similar with the Mets. Although my dad's a Jet fan, my grandfather was a New York Giants fan, even though they left where 60-something years ago. He has not picked a new team, even though he's a big sports fan. He's still a New York Giants fan, not a San Francisco Giants fan.
I like the stubbornness.
Yes.
I like it.
60-something year, like, he'll take me to Mets playoff games.
They didn't leave. They never left. No. They never left.
He's like, he is a baseball orphan. Now,
is he stuck? Did everything else get stuck in 1957, or he's moved on in other areas?
No, I mean, he's a big football guy. No, he's adapted. He knows how to use
a computer. So he's a New York Titans fan in football.
No, I mean, listen, it's the same franchise.
All right. On that note, guys, Jared, again, thanks for joining us so much. Akiva, so I think you said that the Sweet 16, we're going to have the listeners decide. Is that
right? Well, they'll pick, and then we'll sort of – maybe they're one of the three votes. Are they the Jared for the next round, maybe? I think the next – but the next podcast has to be it.
We'll see how egregious
the next podcast has to be it. We can't drag this out for like 4 more weeks. We got other stuff to do.
I think there's definitely enough time to finish the whole thing in one more podcast.
Yes, this was 16 matchups today. The rest of the thing is only 16 more. We still have the hot takeoff coming in a few weeks. We got some other things maybe to discuss.
All right, no spoilers.
No spoilers. Okay.
All right, Jared, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for coming on, Jared.
No problem. Thanks a lot.
Bye. Why can't you see I'm standing at the door? Open your home, little darling. Follow me where I go. Does the sky open up and let the good times roll? Let the good times roll. Let the good times roll. Let the good times roll. Open up, little darling.
Little darling.